Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 70, and I am Livia, your host. And this week we have returning guests.
And this is Ronnie calling in from Las Vegas.
It's Peter from LA, but really the Valley.
Yeah. It only matters when they shut down the 405. All right.
Which is soon.
All right. In the news this week, I only have one news item, which is that Falling Skies has been picked up for season 2.
Actually, I'm glad.
So, I am not.
And we'll talk about that when we get to the episode.
Okay.
All right. First thing we want to talk about is the second episode of True Blood. So,
which was not terrible.
That's an interesting compliment. Please elaborate. Whatever do you mean?
Well, I really thought the premiere was pretty lame, and I think I don't know about Ronnie. Well, Ronnie, you don't watch it, right?
Correct, I don't.
Oh, okay, but I mean, like, Libya and I both have just not been True Blood fans for a while. Like, we both watch it, and Libya has read all the books, so it's a little different for her than it is for me. But I begrudgingly watched it last night because I knew we were doing the podcast. And actually, I thought it was a better episode. I especially like the ending, which obviously Libya knew about. But basically, one of the main characters feels like, this probably is going to sound terrible if you haven't seen the show, but basically one of the main characters basically gets like amnesia, which I know that sounds like a cliche thing, but because the person's a vampire and is super powerful, I'm kind of interested to see where this is going to go, because I'm like, oh, that actually might be interesting, because it kind of goes along with the premiere episode jumped ahead a year, and it seemed like what they were doing was they were almost rebooting the characters, which means that they could find them in different places, which I liked, although the premiere I thought was underwhelming. So doing this with a main character like Eric, that could be good. Olivia, do you want to talk about that?
Well, it's that's straight out of the book, which was book 4. The entire book is about the fact that some witches cast a spell on Eric and basically wipe his memory. And it takes him the whole book to get his memory back. I'm not sure if they're going to go the whole season with him not having his memory, but it's actually... Eric, without his memory, is pretty awesome. At least in the book he was. And it allows... Because he's kind of in a weird position. I'm going to put it to Buffy in that... Buffy could never find Spike interesting or admit that she liked him because he was evil, right? And Sookie has the same problem with Eric in that she can't say that she's attracted to him because he's evil, he goes around killing people, he's not a good person. So even if she finds him attractive, she can't admit to it because of that. When you wipe his memory, he's basically kind of back to instinct and innocence. So, and she has to take care of him now. So, because of that, that allows a level of intimacy you couldn't have gotten before, and that kind of carries over after he gets his memory back, eventually. So, this is that thing, because I'm a... If I'm going to say I like any one couple on the show, it's Sookie and Eric, so... Thumbs up for me. The rest of the episode... They're also kind of sticking with the book with the Panthers and Jason.
I did not care about.
Well,
I'm just tired of that kind of stuff. I mean, maybe it's better in the book.
Oh, it is. They don't quite do it that way, but the whole point is Jason becomes a were-leopard. That's the point. So, however you have to, what you have to do to get to that point. All right, whatever. Because I can't remember how it happens in some random attack in the book versus this.
It's more like...
It's planned. Yeah. They want him. Right. So that's a little different, and it makes Crystal crazier than I had initially thought she
Although
was.
I will say that's interesting. It makes Crystal more crazy, but it actually doesn't make her, like, evil. Normally, if you have a character that's being turned against their will... The person doing it is kind of bad, you know, like Eric or something. But actually, I think you're right. I think it makes Crystal more just kind of wacky and nuts and stuff. It didn't really make me hate Crystal.
No.
It made me like, well, Crystal clearly thinks this is the only way this is going to happen, and she knows that Jason likes her, and she does genuinely like Jason, so she doesn't really think it's that bad. She doesn't really think it's that bad, which is why she's crazy.
Well, and also yeah. because she's been like that her whole life, so she doesn't understand why he wouldn't want it.
Right.
So, yeah. But, yeah, she's crazy. So, and then...
I was disappointed that they... We also saw that there's a flashback where we find out how Bill became the king, and they killed off Evan... is it Evan Rachel Wood? Is that her name?
I just knew her as the queen. I don't know the actress.
I liked her, and she's gone now.
But I have to say, though, I thought that her death scene, because you were like, did they kill her? Did they not?
She's dead. That was before I'd seen the episode. I mean, I think she's pretty much dead.
Right. But I'm just saying they gave you that information, and it actually answered the question, because I didn't believe that he could have killed her. He's only like...
Oh, you're right.
Only like 100-something years old, and she's 500 years old, so I'm kind of going, how the heck did he kill her?
You know what, though? But sometimes that's the kind of stuff that feels a little weird to me, where, like, you have... I mean, if I'm going to be nitpicky, like, a show like True Blood, I mean, any show that has supernatural characters, usually they have these weird, like, heightened senses. So even though it makes sense that Bill would need a little army, because basically it's a bunch of humans that come in with guns that have wooden bullets, right? I think that's what it is. And they basically... pinpoint her heart, and then they just totally take her out with like 100 bullets. Except that, no, totally makes sense. But sometimes it's weird. I always feel like writers play fast and loose with that kind of stuff, because wouldn't Rachel Wood be kind of like, why are there humans entering my building? Like, what's going on? I mean, doesn't she can sense that stuff, right?
Yeah, well, it wasn't her house, but yes, she still could sense it. And I thought, I was surprised she didn't move. Like, when she realized that they had surrounded her, vampires can move super fast. So I was kind of like, okay, dodge the bullets, you know? So that I thought was a little...
Yeah, it felt like she was just being defiant, like, you know, F you. This is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do, but I hate you. I guess that to me was what I felt like. But you're right, technically, she could have jumped on the ceiling. She could have killed everybody really quick. You're right,
She totally could have done that. The other thing is, the only reason that after Bill took over as king, Eric, you have to remember, is 1,000 years old. So Eric could totally take Bill in a fight. But for some reason, he has no inclination to be king. Like, because the queen asked him that question, too. She was like, why do you follow me? Because he could beat her. But he was like, I don't feel like it. So
Right. You're right.
But I think that if Bill has to walk a thin line with Eric, because I think he realizes the moment that Eric really doesn't want to do something that Bill tells him to do, then he'll kill him. You know?
Right, and I did like the scene when he's like, basically, you know, Suki is just like, what's, you know, come on, man, like, he bought my house, and what the heck's gonna happen? And so then Bill talks to Eric and is like, is there any way I can convince you to either sell the house back to her or sell it to me? And Eric's like, yeah, that's not gonna happen. And you're right, in that level, it's interesting because he can give him an order, which is what leads to him getting the amnesia, when he's like, look, I'm telling you, you have got to go check out this coven of witches, because they're going to bring back, they can control the dead, which is bad because we're dead. And he obeys that. But you're right, Eric's not even fathoming that he would even sell the house. It's not even a question.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not doing that.
That's just the way it is. But you know, it's interesting, like, you know, television shows and movies, you know, they always say there's only like 12 original plot points and stuff that you can do in stories. And it's weird how a lot of times what I don't like about True Blood is I feel like they stall. Like, it took forever to find out last season that Suki was a fairy.
Right.
But, you know, having Eric get amnesia is certainly not, I mean, like, that's the oldest soap opera thing in the book. But it leads me to the Falling Skies thing, which is that, like,
Are we switching to Falling Skies, just to be clear?
Well, I just want to say that it's not that, because when we get into Falling Skies, it's not that I want every story to always be the most original thing ever. Of course not. You know, I guess it's more just in that story's execution. And I guess I feel like in this particular instance, because I'm not a huge True Blood person, but in this particular instance, in this episode, I thought the things that they did manage to stay fresh with me more than they normally do. And in fact, I even kind of liked the leader of the witches, who is an actress. In fact, she plays in the Harry Potter movies, which is the new one's about to open. Remember how Harry's got the Dursleys, the people that are mean to him that he lives under?
Yeah.
Like, that's the mom. That's who that head witch is.
Really?
Yeah, oh, that's Mrs.
See,
Dursley.
They always... I think you're pronouncing that wrong. But I think they make her heavier. I think that's why I didn't recognize
her.
They
make her because the Dursleys.
Dursleys.
Dursleys. They're always... You're right. They're always kind of big.
Yeah.
But her thing is kind of interesting because, like, she does this thing that takes away Eric's memory, which at the time I don't think they necessarily know what's going on. And then she kind of comes out of her trance... And she's like, oh, did everything work out? And you're kind of like, well, what's going on with that? You know?
Yeah,
like,
she's so being possessed because remember her face changed?
Yes. So that's what I was thinking. Well, actually, that's interesting because, I think Eric's the only one seeing that, right?
Right, I think
He's seeing that she's not what the other people are seeing.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I mean, that was, you know, again, it's all variations of things that we've seen before, but I don't know, it worked. That True Blood, I was like, all right, it was pretty entertaining. So, thumbs up.
All right, let's move on to Falling Skies, and let's get your negativity out of the way first. Go for it.
Well, it's just, you know, Falling Skies, you've got this alien on, the aliens in Falling Skies look like a clash between, like, the Jeff Goldblum fly from The Fly from the 80s movie, and they kind of look like the creatures from District 9, and I keep wondering where this pitch came from, because I know I talked to you the other night and I was just like, you know, ever since District 9, where we've done a movie about how aliens come to Earth, but actually it's the humans that are terrible to the aliens. And the aliens, they look weird and everything, but they're actually the ones that oppress. I kind of feel like Spielberg producing this show, Falling Skies, where once again the humans are... But, somehow underneath the aliens, it just feels kind of like.
But the
know,
thing is,
like
that
we've
was
done that. But, we just had V, you know, for 2 years.
But my point is that that's the premise of the show.
It is.
If
and I
you
just don't
ex-
know why they went with that premise,
I know. But you can't complain about that being the premise if you already know ahead of time that's the premise.
I know. I know. I agree with what you're saying there. I don't know. It just.
And we're like at episode 4, and you're like, I hate the premise of the show. I'm like,
well,
really?
You know what it is? Maybe because this one... Okay, you know what? I bet the reason it really struck a chord with me in this episode was because this is the episode where you basically have a prisoner, which is, you know... I mean, we had him before, but this is really the episode where they're like, okay, we've got an alien. How do we communicate with him? Are we going to torture him? What are we going to do? And it could... That, I really started thinking about the similarities and differences, where I was like, oh, come on. You know, so that's why it really...
Yeah, but I still think... But
I was going to say, that's the part that I actually really enjoyed, especially between the alien, and I forgot the doctor's name. You know what I mean? And just the tension between, you know, let's treat them as, you know, with respect and figure out what's going on instead of let's just aggravating them.
The Weber doctor, he irritates me to no end because... His method of trying to communicate with the alien wasn't really a method at all. He basically wasn't trying to communicate at all. He was just going to...
And he was really dumb about it by having the cage door open.
Oh, I agree.
Sure, he was dead captive. Oh, we're going to keep that cage open. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why? Even if you're a cruel person, like, why would you do that? You know?
I think he is a faulty character. He is a two-dimensional bad guy, and he's not interesting. However... I do like the doctor. I liked what she was trying to do, and I liked how she was trying to do it. And I am curious. I mean, I'm just like her in that I'm curious about the aliens. I want to figure out how to communicate with them, because the only way to figure out why they're on Earth, what their mission is to be able to talk to them. But the daunting thing is they're speaking in a way that's so foreign. I don't see how they're going to be able to talk, except they introduce the concept of these guys communicating on radio waves.
Also the kid.
Yes, because they can speak through the ones that have the harness on.
Oh, yeah. that's also true. Yes, you're right. I forgot.
That's even better than the radio thing.
Well, yeah, that's true.
English and everything. Yeah, but no, I agree. But I would agree with Livia. The radio to me was the most interesting plot development, because I was like, oh, what is, you know? It seems like when the alien is stressed out, it starts to affect radio waves. That was
Well, I think it's actually speaking on that frequency. Like its yell or its cry is on the same frequency that can be picked up by the radio. And I think that's very, very interesting. And I haven't seen that before. You talked about having seen. Yeah,
I
so
would totally agree. Yes.
And, right. and the whole premise of them, you know, it starts off with 99% of the human race has been killed. Aliens,
very different from V.
Right. And aliens, bad guys. You know that from the start. They killed everyone.
But see, but I think what they're going for is, yeah, they've killed everyone, but they're the bad guys, but at the same time, there's something more going on, and nothing's monolithic. I mean, like, with anything that you know, not every alien necessarily is against this, and I think as the story develops, we're going to start to see the nuances, and that's why I was glad that it was picked up for a second season, because there's more time to develop, and we're assured that at least we'll see it get developed, because I didn't want to, like, you know, sort of start to invest in something, and it just goes away, so I like the universe that they created, unlike you, Peter.
Yeah, I just, you know, and it's weird, because I noticed, I was telling, I was telling my wife, Julia, that I was like, well, actually, you know, my wife's really into Justified, and I was like, oh, it's actually... It's executive produced by Graham Yost.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a character on it that reminds me of a Justified character. It's the guy that they. It's the guy who took off on the motorcycle. The one who's like a criminal, but
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He to me is the best character on the show because I'm just kind of. I don't really know. I don't always know what he's going to do, which is why I think he's interesting.
I was kind of disappointed that they let him get away because I was like, dude, he's going to hit you over the head right now. You know, it's like.
Yeah. No, I agree on that. But I did notice, though, that in the credits, Graham Yost is the executive producer, but he's actually not the creator. The creator is a guy named that I didn't recognize. Maybe Graham Yost was interested, or Yost was interested, because even though it's a post-apocalyptic setting, it is kind of something that he's dealt with in Justified. You know, it's almost this kind of backwoods world. There isn't really, like, the main society, and you're just trying to figure out things. Like, on that, I can kind of see the Justified comparison.
And you've got the complex criminal, which I think is really
which I like, totally. I do like complex criminal. I guess I'm hoping that when they finally got to talk to the alien and everything, the alien, through the kid, didn't really say much, I keep hoping that they could figure out a way that even though it looks pretty terrible, like, because, you know, like we've said, I mean, they pretty much decimated the planet, and anytime there's humans out, they try to pretty much kill the humans or take them over as kids. I keep thinking that, is there anything that we could learn about the aliens that isn't as, I guess, nefarious or as evil as we're thinking? I mean, look, killing humans is clearly bad for us because we're humans. But is there any way we could find out what their reason is that we'd go, oh, okay, now I know why?
Well, that's the thing is, that's what I want to know. You know, I am interested.
No, it might not be.
Why are you going to be negative about it and assume it's bad?
Right, I mean, it might just be that they're big jerks, you know?
Yeah, I don't think so. They're not leading us to believe that. They're leading us to believe there's something else going on.
Okay, like, would you say on V, they're kind of just jerks?
Yes. Well, on V, they're after the resources.
Well, right. No, you're right, right, right. They're after the resources.
And breeding or something like that. So that was not that interesting. I really don't think these guys are trying to breed. So I don't think that's going to be the same answer.
No. But again, what it keeps reminding me of is, like, say, you know, sort of here, say, with the U.S., the Native Americans, when the white man came, you know what I mean, and how they decimated so much, but yet the Indians, you know, the Native Americans did not completely go away and came back, you know what I mean? And so it's like, I see sort of that kind of parallel.
Wait, are you saying you think the aliens have been there the whole time? They're like Stargate thing?
No, that's not what she's saying.
I'm saying that, you know, because you have, like, sort of one group of people almost completely decimate another, but then over time they have to figure out how to work together because, you know, in the case of the Native American, they weren't completely, and they, you know, sort of, and they have, you know, and they're still here, you know what I mean? And so it's like, but at first there was that misunderstanding. And
that wasn't a misunderstanding. I was going to say, that wasn't a misunderstanding.
That's not a misunderstanding.
I was like, let's be clear. That was not a misunderstanding with the Native Americans.
Right.
Are you saying you think it's like, I mean, that's kind of what Battlestar Galactica dealt with, where it was like, we've created this situation, these things hate us now, but ultimately it's just going to be annihilation of both sides.
Yeah, but the humans have to bring the pain for them to get to that level, because right now the humans can't really hurt them that much.
Right. And that's a weird thing I feel like we've seen in a lot of stories. Like the Transformers movies are like that, where like it's a weird thing where we've gone so far into the post-apocalyptic thing where movies and television, they present us with these villains or whatever they are, aliens or robots, that are so powerful that we humans really can't do much. And I like the idea of that, but sometimes I feel like it makes the humans like there isn't much we do. We're almost kind of just observers, you know?
But this whole story is not like that, because we're obviously the center of the story.
We are the center of the story, but come on, man. Those mechs are pretty powerful.
Right, but we know how to blow them up. And, I mean, it takes a lot of work, but we can do it. And the guy on the motorcycle, the villain, who I don't know his name.
Pope.
No, I think it's Pope.
Pope. He killed like 15 of them.
Yes, that's true. Well, no, right. Because I think, it's the ships that are powerful. They're just organic creatures. Right. So you can kill them. That's true.
Right. So, I mean, where there's a will, there's a way, and they have to organize, and they learn. And by capturing this one, they're learning.
And they learn that, remember when you stick the gun in the mouth, it knocked one of them unconscious.
Yeah.
Of course, the point was, the guy was like, well, if you're that close, you can just shoot him, which is true, but it's still good to know.
Right. Because I like that he's like, yes, if you stick your gun in their mouth, you can knock them out, but at that point, just pull the trigger.
Right, but what if it's hand to hand? What if you don't have a gun? You know, like, think of it that way.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, are you going to punch them inside their mouth?
If it's that or die, I mean.
that's true. I was like, you could lose an arm, but all right. All right, let's, you got a final statement, and we're going to move on. Go ahead.
Yeah, final statement is that, actually two quick ones, but like on that, the thing is that they now know there's a soft spot in their mouth. So, you know, maybe they don't have a gun. Something happens. They at least know there's some way to knock them out if they need to.
Right.
And then the other final comment is just going back to something you said earlier, Libya, where, you know, I love Steve Weber as an actor, but his character needs to go, because that's the one sort of downfall for me of the different characters, is he is too much two-dimensional.
Uninteresting, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like Bruce Weber. He was, you know, it's weird because he had a similar kind of role, kind of similar, and I don't know if Ronnie saw this, but wasn't he kind of like a big jerk toughie in Studio 60?
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. I'm trying to remember.
He was the person who was above. Producer, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
He was more interesting there.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, there's something about his character here. It feels like it's not a fully fleshed out character at all. So they need to. They either need to get rid of him or flesh his character out. Those are your options. All right, let's move on. Next up is White Collar, and I am disappointed to hear that neither one of you watched the show. And
sorry.
I don't know why. And if I have to come there and hit you with a wet noodle, I will. But this week's episode was really good because Peter, FBI guy, got to go undercover. And whenever he gets to go undercover, I think it's great. And this week's episode, what was interesting is there's like a black widow. She marries guys and then kills them. And she uses this dating service. So they had Neil, who's the real pretty boy and super charming. They had him plus Jones is another FBI agent, and Peter all entered into the bachelor contest. And of course, because he's like an older guy, and he's not really frumpy, but he's just an older guy. I think he's a decent looking guy. He knocked it out of the park this week because he was so sure he was going to lose the whole dating thing to Neil, because Neil's a pretty boy or whatever. And his wife was like, no, you can pull it off when you try. And she's like, okay, well, don't make that face. You know, so that was all pretty funny. And when he's doing this date, he has this, like, not a salsa. It's the one that's sexier than a salsa, whatever that dance is. I can't think of what it is.
The samba?
Yeah, it might be the samba. Anyway, I have to say, that was, like, a moment in that. When he's doing the dance, I was like, wow, he's kind of hot. And I was like, I didn't, you know, because they always say sometimes, you know, you see a guy dance and like it works. It clicked. It was like right there. I was like, all right, he's bringing the heat. So I really liked the episode because he showed a different side of his character. And he got to be He did this whole charming yet sincere routine that reeled the woman in, and it really worked for me. Neil, on the other hand, so he basically was a jerk to all the other women so that they wouldn't bid on him, and then he tried to turn on the charm to the one that he was trying to get, and it totally backfired. Like, none of the women liked him. It was awesome. He basically, ironically, I say this to our generation, because what he ended up doing to turn all the women off was he kept texting during their, you know, they were doing speed round dating or whatever. Mm-hmm. And every time they tried to talk to him, he would be like, I got to take this call, or wait a minute, just a second. And he would just keep texting and halfway pay attention to them. Okay. And I was like, yes, that is a lesson for our generation or the one below us. Stop texting during dinner. Anyway, I liked the episode. It was really good. Good character development. Good stuff. This season has been pretty good. I'm really impressed.
And Libby, is this the second or third season?
This is the third season.
Okay, wow.
But yeah, I'm really impressed with this season as a whole. So far, no clunkers.
Cool.
All right, moving on. Next is The Nine Lives of Chloe King. Hit it, Ronnie.
And I was going to say, you know what? I have to tell you, because after listening to the podcast last week, I was yelling at my phone, because it's like, or my iPhone, because I kept on saying the woman who's like the leader of the Mai,
uh-huh.
She came from Jericho.
Thank you very much.
And you guys were talking about last week, it's Jericho, because...
Oh, that's... Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, good call.
I feel very, you know, sort of conflicted, because I don't, the actress, her, it's more her roles, you know what I mean? And I don't, and I agree that I don't like her so much, her role, the way that she does it, like in Chloe King. You know, and this is a light series, you know what I mean? So it's just fun for me. And so I you know, kind of enjoy it, and I kind of like, you know, just give it a lot of room, though, you know?
I like Chloe King, too. I didn't see this episode yet. And no, of course, I don't judge Chloe King, you know, harshly. I like it. I know last week we were talking, and I think was it Josh or Tom really hates the remember Chloe's got two friends.
Yeah, he hates the sidekicks. Though this week,
I'm okay with. I don't mind. I like that she's got sidekicks.
I do too. But this week, the girl, what's her name?
Amy? Oh, I don't
remember.
Amy or something. Anyway,
yes.
She. I was ready to kick her off the show. Like she, and I didn't have a problem with her before, but this episode. She basically is all like, well, I might need to get a new best friend because she's spending so much time training and stuff. She's not spending time with me. I need to find somebody else who'll be my friend. And she was all, it was ridiculous. It was absolutely, I was just like, wow. And I like the moment where Chloe basically was like, I'm done apologizing to people for stuff that I have to do to survive. She's like, I'm sorry if I have to train so I don't have to, so I don't get killed by assassins. If that bothers you, then I guess you're right, we can't be friends.
And what I like to, like, you know, I like, because Chloe is grown into herself, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so the fact that, you know, sort of that situation brought that out, you know,
yeah.
So I like the end of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and she was like, you're trying to pretend, the other thing she says, she's like, you're trying to pretend that I haven't changed, and you want everything to go back to the way it was, but it can never go back to that, because I'm not that girl anymore, I'm different. And if you can't handle that, then yeah, we're not friends anymore. And she laid down the law, and I was like, yeah, that's exactly what that situation needed, because she was totally acting out in a way that was very, I mean, they're teenagers, so yes, it was immature, but yeah, she really, I was like, she's dead weight, and I was thinking Chloe needed to drop her. So, but you know, it ended up working out, and the friend was like, "Yes, you're right. I'm so sorry." Blah blah blah, and we all forgive and forget. But I do think that was a really good growth kind of conversation.
So. And this whole episode really was for Chloe anyway, because the whole thing is that now she has this empathic, you know, part of her that she's starting to understand a little bit more.
Oh right, she's got new power. Right.
Right. You know, and how that's, you know, because I guess again, because her, she's the I'm forgetting the word, that she's like the. Not again, I want to say enabler.
She's the...
What is it?
I forgot. She's the they had a name for her.
There's like a one-word name that they call her. And so, you know, and the thing is that none of the other Mai have this power. So this new power is that because she is that sort of special person who's going to bring them all together.
The uniter.
Uniter, that's...
You said it, bring them all together. There you go. You led me right to the word.
Excellent. You know... And so I liked how they were shown in different ways that, you know, she's coming into her own as a Mai, she's coming into her own as a person. So I enjoyed this episode a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. She didn't do anything stupid like she did last week, which I had a problem with, but everything she did made sense, and it was mature, and I'm happy.
Yeah, so, and it was fun, like, finally seeing her at the end, you know, even being able to leap across the buildings and feeling confident about that. You know,
that was a little unbelievable. She went from not being able to make a jump to being able to make a jump that nobody else could make. Right, that was a little big of a jump, that's all.
Okay. Well, it was a big jump.
Yes, thank you, literally. I just meant that in her training, in, like, under a week, she went from dragging behind them and not being able to keep up.
Well, in a day, she was able, I mean, like, her powers just kind of turned on, I guess, when she was 16. And look at how far she came in a day, where all of a sudden she could hear, she could, you know, walk on the back of the bench. You know what I mean? So these things are happening quickly.
Okay, fine. Sure. All right. I just thought that was weird, but okay.
Okay.
I'll let it go. Next.
I'll keep you as a friend, okay?
Thank you, Ronnie. All right, next up, we want to talk about Burn Notice. And this episode was interesting because it basically looked at kind of, what is it, PTSD? Yes.
Yes.
That's the initials I was looking for. Basically,
stress.
Right. So it basically, it hits Michael. And it's about time it hits Michael. Considering all the stuff that he's been through and all the craziness that he's gone through, he's starting to kind of snap a little bit. And he's getting super paranoid and seeing stuff that isn't there necessarily. And he, like, attacked a guy who was going into a bag for a teddy bear, you know, right. Stuff like that. And it's because he's always on and he doesn't know how to turn himself off. And everyone is trying to, like, dude, you need a massage, dude, you need to, like, go relax, you need to chill out for a minute, you need to get rid, like, everybody keeps giving him solutions to what's causing it, and he's not listening to anybody, and right. He's just cracking.
But and the funny thing is, but everybody always turns to him whenever they need something, you know what I mean? So it's right. Funny that it's the both. But it was kind of nice how Sam, yeah, was like, just go get a massage, buddy, you know?
That'll solve everything. No, yeah. But the thing is you're right. They know that he's cracking, and they tell him to go relax. And then his brother shows up. It's like, yeah, you should relax, but I got this case.
You got to help me. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, I can't because I'm not at full. He's like, I'm not at full steam. I'm like... And he's like, well, Mike Weston at half steam is better than most people, which is, you know, true. Yes. But because he was at half steam, he almost got an FBI agent killed.
But it was the twist I did not see coming.
Oh, I thought that was great, though.
That was, yeah, I mean, that was what was, because, like, oh my gosh, I would never have thought that that's what they were going to do and that the guy was really an FBI agent because he was such a jerk.
Right, right. So it was they were doing one of those situations. Peter, you were actually talking about this. Where you said that Burn Notice doesn't do this anymore, where they have criminals and they set them up and then leave them for their buddies to kill.
Right. Well, yeah. In fact, the episode I just watched, the whole thing would have gone much better if they just killed the bad guys. It would have been much better. I'm like, why don't they just kill them? You know.
Well,
like, so.
Usually Michael doesn't do that, but what he will do is he'll let the other bad guys kill them for him, which Sam did on it. I think you've gotten to that episode where Sam basically pretended to be the security for this guy, and they showed up with all these security guys, and that dude turned against his boss, and then they totally just left him there. You've gotten to that, right? That happened. I'm pretty sure that already happened. Anyway, never mind if it didn't. but this episode, they were pretty much setting this whole thing up to be basically do the same thing, where they were going to turn the top two guys against each other. And so they were setting up the lieutenant, the second in command, to look like a cop. So they planted evidence to make it look like he was a cop and told them that he was a cop and set everything up, and the dude was an FBI agent. And so they actually found... And so when they were searching the dude's apartment, instead of finding the planted evidence, they actually found the real evidence of him being an FBI agent. And Michael was like, oh, crap. So he had he basically set it up perfectly for this guy... to be killed, and thinking he was a mean, evil thug, you know, who cares?
Right.
And then now he's like, well, now I gotta freaking rescue this guy. So that just set up a whole different set of problems. And that was interesting, especially in Michael's state of mind that he's in right now. he was kind of struggling to try to juggle all of that. And yeah. He is really, I think he, because somebody said that he either has to keep pushing it until he figures out that he is crazy, or he has to let it go. And apparently he's decided to push it to find out if he's really crazy.
Right.
That is the option he's gone with. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think nobody else but Michael could have, like, sort of in the middle of an operation have to change everything and still make it work. You know what I mean? That's what's so great about him.
Right. He did totally flip what they were doing and change directions very quickly. Well, what did you think? I rambled.
No, because no, you were saying the same thing. And then what's great about the end of this case is that now he has a lifetime worth of yogurt.
That is true.
And so it was nice that his client owned a yogurt shop. That was a cute little add-in to
well,
that.
Well, what was great is she was like, I have no money. I can't pay you. Only thing I can give you is free yogurt. And he looks at her and he goes, I'll take it. And I was like, yes, of course you will. So that was, it was pretty cute. I like that.
Definitely. And the other sort of little cute moment, I don't know if you caught it or not, because in one of the scenes where he was waiting for somebody to drive up, like in the parking lot, uh-huh. he was actually playing with his pecs. Did you notice that?
What? No.
And so I don't know, like, if it was Michael Western or just, or you know,
Jeffrey Donovan,
like, sort of just doing it, but they had caught this where he was like, you could see in his shirt, and he was like, you know, like sort of making one pop and then the other one. It's like,
oh, right, no, that was Michael Weston. He was being the undercover guy, because remember the undercover guy is kind of stupid and kind of right. like he kept saying all the quotes wrong. He's like,
which was
that's
fantastic.
It was like, it's not the kettle black. He said that's why the kettle shouldn't talk so much about the pot. And you're just right. like, what? So he like, he yeah, he got every quote wrong. It was great. All right. Next up, I want to talk about the show that all of you should be watching, and I don't understand why you're not watching it. Again, beating you with implements that are not very hard. Suits this week was just as good as... every episode so far has been great. Gina Torres... rocks my socks. I love her.
Oh, Gina Torres is on it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love her.
Why are you not watching this show?
I downloaded the pilot. I just haven't watched it yet, but I've heard nothing but good things. I mean, I've heard it's a good show.
It's really, like, this week's episode was really great because one of the premises is you have the whole, you know, two lawyers, one degree kind of thing where you have Harvey, who's the mentor, and you have Matt, who is the student who is learning how to be as good as Harvey, but Harvey is always competing with his other guy. I can't think of his name. Lewis. Yes, he's always competing with Lewis. And Gina Torres plays them against each other because no matter which one of them wins, she always ends up winning. And so what was great about this episode is Harvey is motivated to do the right thing purely for selfish reasons. So, like, he is a big car aficionado, and one of the companies that he's representing, they get a new CEO, and that CEO has decided he's going to take the name and go overseas and get half the labor, and he'll make lots of money. But the thing is it's not the name of the company that makes the company, it's the actual engine, because the place that has been making the engine has been doing it for like 25 years or whatever, and so their engines are better than anybody's engines in the world. But this guy doesn't see that, and so Harvey is all motivated to fix this situation, not to save the American jobs, but because he doesn't want to lose the awesome engine. So he does all kinds of crazy stuff, and it's just like, what is wrong? And finally, Gina Torres calls him in and was like, you can't try to change the CEO of a company because you don't like what the CEO is going to do. We represent the company. And he's just like, our job is to protect the company, not to replace the CEO. And he's like, well, we represent the company, not that guy. And I don't like that guy, so I'm trying to get him replaced. And so she has this whole conversation to try to talk him out of it and blah, blah, blah. But then he ends up getting the rug snapped out from under him in a really cool way, and he can't figure out how that happened. And then you realize Gina Torres totally played him 10 steps ahead of him. Like, she's playing a chess game that he doesn't realize they're playing until he's been beaten, which is fantastic. So then he realized that he was like, oh, you're doing this, this, and this, and this, because no matter which one of us wins, you win. You still get the account, you still get whatever, and you still end up looking good. And she was like, basically. I think she said something like, do you really think I'm that smart or that devious or something? And he just looked at her, and she just grinned. It was great. It was a really good scene. So I love all those dynamics, and the relationship between Matt and Harvey is, again, phenomenal this week. So, and the only thing I didn't like was they're introducing this love interest for Matt, which I don't care. It's his old best friend's girlfriend that he apparently had a crush on. And whether or not they're going to get together, I don't care. Actually, I do care. I don't want them to get together. I don't want anything from his old life to intrude on the new life, because his old life sucked. So, yeah, that's my personal opinion. Oh, best line, though, from the show for you guys is Harvey told Matt he needed to do something, and Matt's like, oh, I have to go see my grandmother. And Harvey's like, gets all worried. He goes, is she dying? And Matt's like, no. Like, why would you say that? And he goes, oh, well, then cancel on her. He's like, if she's not dying, then cancel. I was like, it's great. So, yeah, their relationship is fantastic. Thumbs up for the show. It's a twisted, entertaining, but loyal kind of thing. It's about loyalty, friendship, and other stuff. That
and, Libby, great. How many episodes have aired so far then?
This was the third one. Okay. So it's only been three.
Okay.
All right. Next up, Rookie Blue.
I like it. It's a totally fun, silly summer show, but I don't know. I mean, it's totally that Grey's Anatomy, but cops-like thing, and it's completely formulaic and stuff. But for some reason, I like it. And actually, I got to say, Libya, like, you and I often discuss this, where we have, and you and I are both guilty of this, where, and I don't know if, Ronnie, you're like this, we're watching a show, and you have obviously, most people on television are good looking. I mean, I remember when Lost started, and it's like, is everybody on this show? That must be the most good looking plane crash ever. But like on Rookie Blue, you've got, is it Missy Paragam? Is that her name?
I don't know any of the real
actors. But I mean, like, she's clearly really pretty. Like, and she's really in shape and everything. And she was also on Reaper. I think her first movie was like a gymnastics thing. But I know that a lot of times Libby and I get into it where there'll be a handsome dude or a beautiful girl, and one of us won't like that person, because you're kind of like, the only reason people like this person is because they're pretty or he's really hot. Like, White Collar, I always hear the guy's super attractive.
Yeah, but that's not why you like the show, though.
No, I haven't seen White Collar, so I can't. I'm just saying that, like, that was, when you had talked about White Collar, that was one of the first things. You're like, wow, that guy is really good looking.
That is why I initially watched it. That is exactly not why I watch it now, though.
And so with Rookie Blue, once again, you've got this woman who is, like, way more attractive than probably any police officer would any be. I like her. I mean, and I'm a guy. But you like the show. Do you like that character? Do you like McNally or whatever? Or do you find her annoying?
I wouldn't be watching the show if I didn't like her. She's the lead. So if I didn't like her, I'd be done. She's,
yeah, but you, okay, true. But you never liked Meredith Grey, who's the lead of Grey's Anatomy.
That's true, because I don't think she could act her way out of a paper bag.
So there's an example, like, and they're both pretty similar shows. So you're saying you do like her, though?
Yeah, she's a much better, she's a much, much better actor. Sorry,
okay, I was just wondering.
So my issue is not their looks. My issue is that someone gives them a job, and they obviously can't act, and the only reason they got the job is because of their looks.
Well,
if they're gorgeous and they can still act, I'm fine. That's, you know, that's not my issue.
I mean, that's kind of the issue I have sometimes with Sam on Supernatural, is that I feel like, I don't think he's terrible, but I think he's really limited. Like, again, whenever Sam has to go dark, I'm always like, I don't buy this at all. You know, like, now Dean is also good looking and very charming and stuff, and he works. But the Sam guy, I'm always like, this guy, like, you know, and, so that makes sense? That similar?
And I will give everyone Peter's email to send your hate mail to him.
Oh, please. Who? Wait, if you're listening out there and you actually like Sam more than Dean, I would love to hear that. Because that sounds...
Oh, please, no. I will forward you all. I will forward you all the mail. All right.
Anyways, so going back to Rookie Blue, So basically, there's a cop act. There's a car accident, and McNally and the guy. I'm sorry, I don't remember the one who's like her trainer or whatever.
Right. I'm not clear on everyone's names either.
Yeah, I know her name's McNally, but I forget the other ones. But anyways, they're assigned to check out a car, like a 4-car pileup. And
You told me I wasn't going to guess.
Yeah, and one of the guys takes off, and they're like, all right, whatever. And so they pick up they go to the car, they go to open the trunk, and I was completely surprised. And you're saying you were not?
I guessed dead body. I did not guess a bunch of heads, but I was close.
Oh, well, yeah, dead body, but dude, it's like, what is it, 3 severed heads?
It was 3 guys and a woman, right.
I mean, that's outrageous, and it's in a little duffel bag and everything, and I was like, I did not see that coming at all.
I really did think of dead body, I just didn't think of the heads, but it didn't shock me. I was like, oh, I was almost there, but yeah, I didn't guess heads either.
And it's great, because as the case goes on, it's not just severed heads, it's actually from a... Is it from a medical lab or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, so those like, were cadavers. They weren't. It wasn't murder.
It ends up leading to kind of a big deal because the person who took the heads is a person who used to be on medication, is not on medication, and as we see later when they get to the bad guy's lair, we see that he's been videotaping his, like, oh, it's day one. I haven't had my medication. I'm doing great. You know, I feel like I... probably drinking too much coffee, and then day 5. Rah! I'm totally cheesy. However, big deal because he blames McNally for something, he ends up going to her place and almost kills dead the fiance.
Right. Like, when I saw the fiance was like terrified and he was trying to figure out how to take the gun from the guy. He was like, oh, yes, you're absolutely right. He's like telling the criminal exactly what he wants to hear, but the second he took a step forward, I was like, don't move to... Aw! And he took a step forward, and the guy shot him. He's lucky the dude didn't shoot him in the head, because there was like a moment where I thought he was thinking about it. So, yeah, he's going to be in surgery for a while. And
also, interestingly, because as we know, the engagement was actually not necessarily planned.
Oh, right. He got caught.
She basically finds a ring, and she's like, oh, my God. And so he is kind of like, all right, yeah. And of course, it ends up being that his ex-girlfriend who's on the show, when she's like, yeah, that's my ring, because obviously she recognizes it. You know, and he makes the point of saying, well, look, I would have asked her anyways, and I care about her. But you can tell it's been, they jumped the gun on that. And he's kind of like, eh. So it's almost, I mean, it's terrible to get shot up and almost die, but... I think that will be a way of delaying all that stuff.
Right. Well, I don't want them to get married anyway, but...
No, I don't want that either, because clearly I like her with the other guy.
Yeah, I do too. But the problem with... The other thing is he needs to tell her that ring is... It's not an original ring that he bought for her, because if she finds out from the ex-girlfriend, oh, that used to be my ring, oh, they're in trouble.
No, yeah, and I keep wondering, do you think she'd say, I don't know if she would. Would she say it? I don't know.
I think she might, because she's kind of bitter.
She is kind of bitter.
She's a little bit bitter about that whole thing, because the new girlfriend's younger and prettier than her, and she's getting everything that she wanted but turned down, and she's feeling regret that she turned it down, and now it's kind of like, I think she might wreck it.
Anyway, do you recognize that woman, by the way?
She looks familiar, but I have no idea from where.
Yeah, like, I feel like it's a show I just watched, older, not Burn Notice, like maybe Justified last season, like, because Julia was watching, and I just saw her, and I was like, hey, that's the person on Rookie Blue. Now I don't remember where she's from, but I don't know.
That's the end of the main segment, and we're going to move on to our special poll. This week, we decided to only do one show, mainly because there were a lot of shows for us to watch this week, and watching 6 hours extra of drama was a little bit too much. So we stuck with Star Trek The Next Generation, and we watched the episodes Measure of a Man, or The Measure of a Man, Q-Who, and The Emissary. So... Ronnie hasn't talked in a minute, so let's hear what Ronnie has to say. Let's start with Measure of a Man.
All right, and actually I really enjoyed it because we had been talking earlier, The Next Generation, I haven't seen all the episodes, and I actually probably seen much more in the later seasons.
Which were
so
not as good.
I was trying to think if I'd seen any of these three before, but I really enjoyed Measure of a Man just because of the topic that it brought up and the whole issue of what is data.
Right. Peter?
No, it was great. It was great. I, unlike everybody else probably on the planet who's a sci-fi geek, I have never really watched a lot of Next Generation. I've seen the movies, but never really watched the show. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't know who Picard was. Obviously, I did. But I really watched these three episodes, and it was great starting off with this episode about Data and its whole court case, which normally you would think that's not really the best way to start watching a show like Star Trek, is basically a big court case episode. But I really liked it. I really liked that they is it Riker? Is that the guy with the beard?
Yes.
Yes.
Riker has to take the opposite side, even though he clearly cares about Data and everything. I thought that was pretty good. And you almost think I think even the woman who's in the middle is like, and you have to do a good job. If I feel like you're pulling your punches or something, then that's it. I'm just going to say that, Data goes back to the Federation and with this guy. And he makes a really good point when he basically turns Data off.
Yeah, and then he goes, Pinocchio's strings are cut.
Yeah, yes.
That was brutal.
Yeah,
it was totally brutal. And I didn't know how Picard was going to come back. I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know what he's going to do, And then he does, which totally made sense. He goes, and in fact, wait, does he have a, I'm sorry, because I watched all three. Does he have a conversation with Whoopi Goldberg about this?
That would be Guinan. Guinan, yes.
No, Whoopi Goldberg.
Her name is Guinan on the show.
That's her name on the show, Guinan?
Yes.
Wait, and is she human?
No.
Because in a later episode we just saw that we'll talk about, it feels like she's more than like hundreds of years old or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. She's not human, no.
Oh, okay. Guinan's point is kind of like, we're skittering around the issue. I mean, basically the issue is that if be it robot or whatever, if they are sentient and they can make up their own mind, and now we're saying that these are our property, this is our property, then isn't that basically slavery? And and that's totally what Picard basically does. And that was great. I thought that, totally, because turning him off, I didn't know how that was gonna, I honestly didn't know how Picard was gonna be able to get, to make a winning argument.
Right. And that's the thing is, they had Riker's argument so strong that it absolutely convinced. I mean, we've been, for a viewer who's been watching the show all this time, we've seen Data for like a year and a half. And so we think of him as a person. And even with that in mind, when you see that scene, you still go, and he takes his arm off and everything.
Oh my God.
You're just kind of like, wow, he is just a robot, And it was fantastic. And I like
right.
they did the definition of sentience. And I think they got those rules from, Asimov. Is Asimov the one who came up with
it? Yeah, he's the rules of robotics and
well,
everything.
Well, his are the rules for the robots, but I don't know if he came up with the rules for sentience. But anyway, I thought that was, I know it's a reference from something that I can't think of. Please
okay,
call
like
and
the
tell
three
us.
Criteria.
Say it again?
Are you saying that the three criteria had come from something else?
Right, but I can't remember what it is. So I'd say this is one of my favorite episodes of second season, definitely. I think that was the one where I realized this show is actually really pretty good. And it had more to say than just, hey, let's go and find new races and see cool new aliens with bumps on their heads. This is actually making some real interesting social commentary.
It was good.
Yeah,
I mean,
which is
really,
why we picked it, right?
I'm very happy that it's on Netflix because I'm very, there's still a lot of shows that we watch just in general, but I think Next Generation is a show that I will probably try to watch now throughout the summer. Now, of course, as I've heard from you, you don't necessarily think the first season is all that great.
Skip it.
Skip it completely? There's
completely.
Nothing.
Completely.
Not even the pilot?
Especially the pilot. Skip
well,
because
the pilot, I want to see how they
no,
all...
No, you really don't. wait until you've seen most of the show. Like, and you're ingrained in the show, and you love the characters. then you can go back and watch the pilot, because at that point it won't. You've only seen three episodes. You've seen the three really good ones. If you go back and watch the pilot, you're like, "What the heck is this show?"
So, Ronnie, would you agree with Libya? Have you seen all of Next Generation?
No, I haven't, and I've seen the pilot. I didn't think it was horrible. But,
it's horrible. Well, I mean, it's horrible in comparison to the rest of the show.
Okay, right. But I can understand Peter went into, like, you know, because whenever I'm going back to series that have already been on, I like to say, okay, how did it start? Where did it, you know what I mean, go from? So
yes, but this is not one of those shows where you kind of need to, and you don't need to see the pilot now. You can wait for later. Finish a season. That's all I ask. Just finish a season.
Would you say season two is good to finish? Or season three?
Well, season three is fantastic. Season three is where they kick off. Like, that season is the season. But anyway, so let's move on to the next episode, which was Q Who.
Which was also good. Great.
Yeah, and it's
Introduction
the
of the Borg. Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. That was really cool.
It's so weird because it's like it's the first time you've ever seen that. It just blows my mind, man.
But remember, I saw the Star Trek movies, so I saw First Contact where there's that Queen Borg, so I knew kind of what the Borg were, but it was interesting. Like, it was really I really dug it.
Yeah, and John Delancey, to see him so young, it's like, oh my gosh, look at Q go, you know.
Wait, that's the guy's name who plays Q, is John Delancey?
Yeah.
That guy's in everything. He's good. He's always good.
Yeah, okay. You just saw him in Breaking Bad. He was the dad.
He was the father. Yeah. Right? Yeah. He's great. I like Q and Picard. I really like how Q pushes him and stuff. Like, really, really interesting. Oh, and that was another one where Guinan, like, there's a moment where Guinan and they see each other and they both don't like each other, right?
Right.
Yeah, that was really good too. Just setting up. I mean, it's a weird thing because, at least from what I've seen, I don't exactly know how powerful Q is. I mean, basically, it seems like he can just take the Enterprise and
he can do it. Basically, whatever you think of, can Q do? The answer is yes.
Yes.
So then, I mean, if that's true, I mean, why is he even bothering with puny humans then? I mean, he's so powerful.
He finds Picard fascinating.
Oh, wait. So it's Picard. It's not necessarily humans.
At first, it's humans. In the pilot, he puts humanity on trial.
Whoa. He's in the pilot?
Yes.
Oh, I gotta see this. Hugh's in the pilot? So, like, he's the first big nemesis or whatever?
Yes, he is.
Whoa. Wait a minute. But you like him. So you're saying he gives a bad performance in the pilot?
The pilot is badly written.
So it's not the actor's fault?
No. The pilot is badly written.
Because, yeah, I think did the original Star Trek series have a character like Q? He's a really fascinating character.
Yeah, they had the Squire of Gothos.
Okay.
Well, but I thought it was
of
really...
Of course you have no reference for that because you haven't seen the original Star Trek either.
That's true. And so, Ronnie, you like original more than Next Gen, but do you like Q and that kind of character?
Oh, actually, I love Q, you know? And so, yeah, but the original just, because that's the first one I saw. I mean, I grew up watching the original, you know what I mean? And so that just has my heart. But Q is fantastic. And actually, the Borg, because I don't think I have seen this episode, because again, most of the ones that I've seen from the Next Gen were later in the series. And so it was really cool to see them, you know, and also to see how, like, the people on the Enterprise start to figure out, well, what are these? How are we going to deal with them, you know? But in a lot of ways, it's an interesting parallel when you think back to, like, say, Fallen Skies. Because, again, it's like there's this new alien, and how do we figure out, like, what's going on with it? And so I really enjoyed seeing this in Q Who.
Yeah, it's a good parallel. Nicely done.
Hey, thank you.
All right, and the last episode we saw was The Emissary. And I think I told this to Peter because he had questions why I picked it. And The Emissary is the episode that introduces Kalar.
Right.
And it's the beginning of the arc. Like, there's a huge story around just the introduction of her and the Klingons. And it gets picked up in, there's a season 3 episode where they do an exchange program with another Klingon, who I'm not going to spoil for Peter. and that all runs together into some of the biggest and best stories that they have on the show.
Wait. So when you were telling me that it starts an arc, I thought that meant if I went to the episode that followed it, that's a big arc.
No.
Oh. Okay, all right. I was thinking you meant this is a three-parter or something like that.
No. It introduces Kalar, mm-hmm. and then Kalar, there's an episode where Kalar comes back. There's an episode where there's an exchange program with another Klingon, and those two storylines merge because they're all about Worf. Those two storylines merge into a much bigger storyline, and then it sets off, like, I think Civil Wars start over this stuff. Like, it gets to be really, really big. But you need that first episode to understand who Kalar is for everything else to make sense.
And I think, I mean, they just pulled it off so well, sort of with her and her anger. You know, I actually really enjoyed her, like, when she was really angry.
I like her sarcasm. She makes me laugh.
Yes.
I like...
The only question I have about the episode is, where did she get all these, you know, different clothes if she just came over in the pod?
Oh, that's, they have the replicator. What are you talking about? They can replicate anything they want.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Because it's like, and all of a sudden you see her, it's like, oh, I've got to change it to something, you know, sort of a little bit more sexy. It's like, well, where did she bring that with? I didn't even think about the replicator.
Yes, replicator. Star Trek universe. You're forgetting what universe you're in.
It's been a while.
Now, I actually was... a little disappointed in this episode. It wasn't terrible or anything. I just, obviously, I don't have the same affection for the characters that, like, Livia does. So I was just watching these as standalone. So the Q one, I was like, wow, this is really great. And you meet the Borg, too. That's awesome. And then you've got the Data on trial of, like, what it means to be human. And the robot is like, oh, that's great. And then I was like, well, I mean, I like Worf. I wasn't as enamored with this girl as you were. I mean, I didn't hate her. I just thought she was okay. So actually, I can see if it starts off an arc that ends up being very satisfying, I can see saying, oh, okay, I can understand why everyone likes it. But as just an episode to sell me on Next Generation, to me, that was the weakest of the three. Again, not terrible. Of course, I still watched the whole thing and everything, but it just didn't have a... It didn't have that killer hook the way I thought the other two episodes did. But it was still good. I mean, it's probably like a B or something for me. So,
all right. I'll take that. Yes, I'll be interested when you do get to the final end of the arc, what you think.
Yeah. So, but yeah, my favorite thing was I was glad. I've always wanted to watch Next Generation, and I was glad that this came up with our podcast because it gave me the opportunity to go, okay, I'll watch it. And Libya knows what a procrastinator I am. Yeah. But I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, didn't I pretty much watch this, like, the first one, like, that Saturday or Sunday last week?
Yeah, I gave you the list, and then you went home and texted me and said, I'm watching it now. I was like, seriously?
Yeah, because it's one of those shows, you're right, that as a big nerd, I'm a little embarrassed that I've never really seen this show. So I was like, okay, now, you know, it's on Netflix. Here's my chance to, you know, go nuts and watch Next Generation.
Yes.
So I'm very happy.
Or else we'd have to take your nerd card away. Yes.
Right.
Final comments, Ronnie?
I was going to say, you know, it's been a very long time for me watching a Star Trek episode. So actually, I have to thank the podcast because, like Peter, it's like, wow, it's like right here on Netflix. It's time to watch, you know, it made me, like, sort of whet my appetite to watch some more.
And just to wrap everything up real quick, guys. We're going to have to open the poll up again for what show we're going to talk about for next week. I'll talk to our web guru because I know nothing about interwebs, apparently. And then I'm not sure where we're... Well, check our Facebook. You'll see the new poll. And please vote, because if you want to hear us talk about it, you got to vote on it. All right, feedback is tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. Bye-bye.
Bye.